You are listening to BensTorah.com.
At this Pesach, when we have Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, we're going to be in a little bit of a bind when it comes to doing the Mechiras Chametz, and that's because Mechiras Chametz is always done the day before Pesach. And we do it in the morning, right before, let's say, the Chametz is Aser at 11 o'clock or 11:30 in the morning. We do it shortly before that. We sell the Chametz to the guy right before the Chametz becomes, before you have to burn your Chametz. Because, of course, we want to make sure it's after the Isser's Ma'achila, because we don't want anyone to be eating the guy's Chametz. So once it's Aser to eat the Chametz, and everybody has got to get rid of their Chametz, in those few minutes, the rabbis sell the Chametz to the guy. This year, it's going to be a lot more complicated than that because it's Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, we're going to be in shul. We're going to be eating our early minyan in shul, probably. All the shuls are going to have early minyanim. We're going to be having an early seuda because we want to get our last challah in. And we're going to want to be finished with our, you know, our chametz early in the morning on Shabbos morning. We're not going to be able to do a kinyan with a guy. You're not allowed to do business. You're not allowed to do sales on Shabbos. I'm not going to be able to sell the chametz to the guy on Erev Pesach, as I do every single year. So when am I going to sell the chametz to the guy? Well, of course, I'll do it a day earlier. I'll do it on Friday morning, which is 2 days before Pesach. But the question that we have is the following question. The question that we have is, if I sell the chametz to the guy on Friday, 2 days before Pesach, then that means I can't eat my chametz on Shabbos. So what's the other option? Because it's already sold to the guys. The guys, I can't eat the guy's chametz. On the other hand, if you say, I'll make a kinyan with the guy on Friday, 2 days before Pesach, but we'll have in mind that the chalos of the kinyan, the effectiveness of the kinyan, I'll do the ma'aseh kinyan with the guy on Friday, 2 days before Pesach, but the effectiveness, the chalos of the kinyan will not be chal until Erev Pesach, like it is every year. Ooh, that's very creative. But is that permitted? Is it permitted to do a kinyan on a weekday so that the chalos of the kinyan, the transaction, the actual transfer of ownership, occurs passively on Shabbos? You're not going to do anything active. You're only going to do the kinyanim. You hand over the documents and you sign the documents and you shake your hands and whatever things that they transfer and they give the money. That all happens on Erev Shabbos, 2 days before Pesach. But that which those kinyanim effect, that which it makes the chametz transfer to the guy, that could happen on Shabbos. Does that work? Is that allowed? This question is a much wider question than just mechiras chametz on Erev Pesach. If you look at the title that you see on the screen, you see it's a very wide-ranging shaila. This is the same shaila that the poskim first discussed, I don't know about first, but the poskim discussed vending machines. The shilas of vending machines have been around for 100 years. It's not just like the last 30 years. 100 years ago in Europe, there was a shila about vending machines. It wasn't called a vending machine. It was called an automat. Automat. That was what it was called in the Yiddish or the German or the, I don't know what language, automat. You understand what automat means. An automatic, store. And the same question sort of exists. I'm a vending machine operator. I own a vending machine and it sits in a mall. I put it there on Tuesday. I filled it up on Tuesday. It sits there all week, week after week after week. A guy or a non-Jew comes and puts money in on the, in the vending machine and he gets his chocolate bar, he gets his soda can on Shabbos. So did I just do business on Shabbos? I didn't do any activity. I didn't do any maisa. But the transaction did occur on Shabbos. Is that okay or is that not okay? Similarly, internet commerce on Shabbos. Somebody has an online website. So when you have an online website, you're doing absolutely nothing. You're in shul. You're having your Shabbos meal Friday night. You're singing Koyach Sof with your kids Friday night. Meanwhile, somebody somewhere in the world on the World Wide Web is going into your internet website and buying a speaker, buying a microphone, buying whatever else you sell online, and the transaction will be happening on Shabbos. So are you allowed to do this setup where you set yourself up to do the kinyanim and you do all the preparation on Friday, but the actual transaction occurs on Shabbos? These three issues, vending machines, internet commerce, and Mechiras Chametz this year, is all the same Shaila. And interestingly enough, the Shaila in its form as it's going to be dealt with now is primarily based on one Rebbe Kveiger. Of course, we're going to see sources that are earlier. We're going to see a Gemara or two from Shas. We're going to see some other places in the Shulchan Aruch. But the question that where it's dealt with and formalized the way I'm presenting it, in terms of could you do a Kinyan on Erev Shabbos so that the Chalos, the transaction, will occur on Shabbos, that was first discussed and first raised by Rabbi Kveiger. So let's look at the sources that we have here, and we'll see what we come out with. So Rabbi Kveiger was asked the following. B'mad dekaimolon, ein konen b'Shabbos. Of course, we know you're not allowed to be konen b'Shabbos. Imachal or chifetz be'erev Shabbos, b'meshicha, or b'kesef, v'omar, tikna l'chol l'machar. We do the Meshicha now. Let's say two Jews. We have a deal. And let's say, I'll give you a good example. Let's say for capital gains purposes, you want a sale to take place on December 31st or on January 1st. So let's say you have a house that you want to close. You have a building that you want to close on. And you're going to do the closing in mid-November. But for tax purposes, you want the transaction to be valid. You want the transaction to take place on January 1 of the following year. So you'll have the closing in the middle of November, and the closing agreement is that as we do the closing and the building will transfer, the transfer will not occur till, we'll do the closing now in middle of November, but the transfer of that property will only occur a month and a half from now on January 1st. So that presumably should work. But what happens if you forgot to look at the calendar and January 1st is Shabbos? So that's our question. You're doing the Kinyanim, two Jews. You're doing the Kinyanim on a weekday, but you want the Chalos to happen on Shabbos. Now, there's another side of the coin that Rabbi Kveiger raises, which we're not really going to be discussing, but it's an interesting twist. What happens if I say, I'm going to sell you something right now? It's Thursday night, 9 o'clock at night, Thursday night. I'm going to sell you this box of chocolates on the condition that Friday night you do 10 jumping jacks. So if you do 10 jumping jacks Friday night, then the box of chocolates becomes yours from now. You hear that? I'm selling you something me'achshev on the condition that a certain t'nai will be fulfilled on Shabbos. So if you do 10 jumping jacks on Shabbos, when do the chocolates become yours? On Thursday night. If you don't do the 10 jumping jacks, then you never became the owner of these chocolates. So could I sell you something on Thursday night, on Friday, with a t'nai, and that t'nai you're going to fulfill on Shabbos? But the transfer really happens not on Shabbos. The answer happens right now when we made the tonight. So that's a little bit of a different shaila. We're not going to go into that, but just it's a similar question, just the opposite from the opposite vantage point. This is a question of you're doing the mice the transaction now, but the what makes the transaction happen, the tonight of jumping doing jumping jacks, that a person will do on Shabbos. Look at how he says it inside V'chein. Machalo be'erev Shabbos b'mei achshav. You sell something from right now. B'tanai she'yasa kach v'kach on a tanai that you do such and such. You do 10 jumping jacks. Could you do those 10 jumping jacks on Shabbos? Imutu l'kayim ha'tanai b'maisa b'Shabbos. Because sh'ayadezen is kayim ha'kinyan. That makes, if you do those 10 jumping jacks on Shabbos, it makes the kinyan happen from now, from Thursday night. That's the question. Now, let's think of what the possible answers could be. I don't want to go into the focus. I don't want to focus on the second one, but Rabbi Kveiger just asked two questions. The first question is, can you do a Maisa on Friday so that the Chalos will happen on Shabbos? And the second question is, could you have the Chalos happen now? But what makes the Chalos happen now is a Maisa that will be done on Shabbos. The Tanai will be fulfilled on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kveiger entertains three possibilities of these questions. Maybe both of these would work. That means you could do a kinyan now so that it will end up working on Shabbos. And you could also do a kinyan now, even though the Tanai will be fulfilled on Shabbos. Maybe both of them will not work. Or maybe one will work, one won't work. Any possibility is, anything's possible. Those are the three bullet points where he just presents three different possibilities. So what we're going to focus now is on one of these issues. Just the first question. The first question is, I just want to welcome my father to the shir. The first question that we're asking is, could I do a kinyan on Friday and allow the chalos to happen on Shabbos? I'll sell the chametz to the guy on Friday, but the deal is that he only will own it on Shabbos. Now, that'll be very good for me. You know why? Because that means I sold it to him on Shabbos, but it didn't become his. I sold it to him on Friday. I sat down with the guy. We did the kinyanim on Friday. But it's still my challah Friday night. And it's still my challah Shabbos morning during breakfast, during lunch. So therefore, I will be able to keep my own challah. I will be able to have challah. On the other hand, if you assume that you're not allowed to do a kinyan on Friday, that will be valid on Shabbos. So if you're going to do the kinyan with the guy on Friday, you don't have challah to use Friday night. You don't have challah to use Shabbos day. You're going to be in a little bit of a bind. So that's the question. The Vikvega says we could bring an interesting proof from a very unrelated area, from Pidyon HaBen. Let me ask you a question before we look at it inside. Let's say you have a baby, and it could happen 1/7 of every Pidyon HaBen should probably occur in this situation. The Pidyon HaBen falls out on Shabbos. Are you allowed to do a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos? Of course not. Money is mukta. There's a transaction happening, you're buying the baby. You can't do a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kvega says, I have a great idea. Actually, the Trumas Hadeshin was asked, why don't we just give the money on Erev Shabbos and let the transaction occur? Let the transaction, the chalos of that money being given over on Friday, occur on Shabbos, the 31st day when the Pidyon HaBen is supposed to take place. Wow, that's a geshmak hashayla. So you know what the Trumas Hadeshin says? Presumably that's exactly our question. Could you do an act on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, and the effectiveness of that act, the chalos, will take place on Shabbos? So could you give the money on Erev Shabbos, and the chalos hakinyan, the pidyon, will occur on Shabbos? So you know what the Trumas Hadeshin says? The Trumas Hadeshin says, you're going to be all messed up with the bracha. When are you going to make the bracha? You can't make the bracha on Friday because nothing's happening until Shabbos. You can't make the bracha on Shabbos because you didn't do anything on Shabbos. Everything was done on Friday. And also, when are you going to have the seuda? You're going to have the seuda on Friday? Well, nothing happened on Friday. You can have the seuda on Shabbos? You didn't do anything on Shabbos. So you can't do this option. What? That's the only problem? The only problem is that you don't know where to make a bracha and how to have a suda. I know a much bigger problem. The bigger problem is that maybe if you do something on Friday so that it should be effective on Shabbos, that's breaking Shabbos. Oh, says Rabbi Kvager. The very fact that the Trumas Hadeshin says that the only problem with doing a Pidyon HaBen on Friday to be Chal on Shabbos is that we don't know when to make a bracha and how to have a seuda. It sounds like there's no problem with the kinyan happening on Shabbos. It sounds like that's okay. The problem is just, technically, you don't know when to make a bracha. Let's look at this paragraph inside. It says, Rabbi Kvega, L'chor nirli l'hochiach mima shekosu ha-trumas ha-deshan. V'hod de'ein podim b'Shabbos. You can't do a pidyon ha-ben on Shabbos. Wait. V'lo'amrim yitein l'koin ha-mos mi'erev Shabbos. Don't do the money on Friday and let it be Chal on Shabbos. Says the Trumas Hadeshin, how are you going to deal with the brachas? Efi asem ha-brachas. After all, you're not going to make a bracha on Friday because Hari ha-pidyon, yesh alach, will give a Shabbos. The pidyon is only happening on Shabbos. How can you make a bracha on Friday? Wait a second. I said it a little bit wrong. Either Right, you can't do it on Friday. You can't give the money on Friday because, okay. V'afal pichen lulei ha-brachas ha-suda, if not for this issue of the brachas and the suda, hayamutu liftos ayidei nesinas masla koin, be'er Shabbos. It sounds like other than those technical details, you would be permitted to give money on Friday and let it be chal, and let the pidyon be chal on Shabbos. So it sounds like you are allowed to give money on Friday and let a transaction occur on Shabbos. That's what this Shemitah possession sounds like it's saying. So if we stop here, we have a great question. Could you do a ma'aseh on Friday and let it be chal on Shabbos? And a Shemitah possession's question, a pidyon haben, sounds like the only problem is some, you know, how to make the brachas and how to do the suda. But technically, there's nothing wrong with having the chalos, having the transaction take place on Shabbos. It sounds like we solved the problem. And this solves all three problems. You could set up a vending machine on Tuesday, even though the transaction will take place on Shabbos. You could have your website open and the transaction will take place on Shabbos because you're not doing anything. And of course, with Mechiras Chametz, you could sell your chametz on Friday and ask the guy that the transaction of the chametz should only become the guy's on Shabbos. That's what it should seem from this Shemitah edition. Kenta, what's your question?
With the pidyon haben, why can't you make the bracha on Friday? You're doing the ma'isa. It's not being chal until Shabbos, but you did the ma'isa.
It's a meaningless ma'isa right now. You can't make the bracha on Friday because it's a meaningless ma'isa. When you're saying the bracha...
You're doing exchange. The exchange takes place later on. So I'm doing the ma'isa of exchange.
No, I'm just giving money for that. That's a meaningless handing over of money on Friday. It's only going to become meaningful tomorrow. So it's a meaningless handing over of money right now. It's only going to become significant tomorrow. But tomorrow comes and there's no handing of the money. There's no ma'isa, so you can't make a bracha in either one. That's what the Shemitah Tradition's problem is. So says Rebbe Kveger, even though it sounds in the Shemitah Tradition that it's mutter, I think I want a source from Shas to deal with this question. I'm not satisfied with a Rishon, I want a source from Shas. And the source from Shas is going to be the most unusual source you could imagine. It's going to come from Hilchos Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol has to have a wife. And you remember from the Mishnayos at the beginning of Yuma that there's a machlokas there if we want the Kohen Gadol to have a backup wife. Right? Because the Torah says, V'chiper badova ad beiso, beiso is his wife. A Kohen Gadol, in order to do the avodah of Yom Kippur, must have a wife. If he doesn't have a wife, the avodah is psula. But what happens if his wife dies? We don't want to risk the kapara for all of Klal Yisrael if his wife might die, God forbid, on this day. So Rabbi Yehuda says we have a backup wife. But wait a second, you can't have two wives either. Because if you have two wives, then that doesn't fit with the Torah's requirement that he should have beiso, his wife, singular. So we're in a bind. We want him to have a backup wife in case his first wife dies. But he can't be married to two women because that is not beiso, it's not one wife. So how are we going to set up a scenario where he'll be married to one wife, but he'll have a backup wife? So the Gemara has a very complicated solution. The Gemara has six ways to try to figure out maybe he'll marry one woman and divorce and marry another woman with a t'nai, with a divorce al t'nai, with a marriage al t'nai. And the Gemara concludes the following. Look what we have here on Daf Yud Gimel and Yuma. Gemara says that, again, it's going to be a little bit convoluted. You have your wife, and you take another wife. This is what the Kohen Gadol should do. And he should divorce both of them. But look how he divorces both of them. He's going to divorce them with a t'nai. Megarish lehu lechavayu. Lechada amar hariat megureshes im lo tomas chavertach. Right? If my first wife is still alive, then you're hereby divorced. Meaning, if my wife is alive while I'm doing the avoda, then I don't want you to be my wife because you'll be a second wife. I can't have a second wife during the avoda. So what does he tell his first wife? What happens if his first wife ends up dying? What happens if his first wife doesn't end up dying? Ulchado amar hariad megureshes amanas shekanis lebeis hakneses. In order to, again, I don't want to get into the details why he has to do this complicated type of marriage, but the marriage that the Gemara says is you marry two women with t'nais. And the Tanais will make sure that the Kohen Gadol will only end up being married to one of them during the Avoda. That's what the Gemara says. A very convoluted way of having, on one hand, a backup wife, on the other hand, making sure he only has one wife. Asks Rabbi Kveiger a very simple question. Why do you have to marry a wife and be Megarish her and make a Tanai? Why don't you have one wife and then find another girl, another Bisula, who's Roy for Kohen Gadol, and be Mekadish her on the condition that if my first wife dies, you will be my wife tomorrow? You hear that? On Erev Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol who's married, he's married to a wife. Hopefully she should live, she should be healthy, I may have Esim Shana, they should enjoy old age together. But on Erev Yom Kippur, he should go approach another woman and give her a Kesef Kiddushin and say, I'm hereby marrying you, I'm giving you the Kesef right now. I can't marry you today, because if I marry you today, then when Yom Kippur comes, I'll have two wives. That's not okay. So I can't marry you now. But I'm going to give you the money now on Erev Yom Kippur, so that if my wife, my first wife, dies, you will become my wife tomorrow. Isn't that our case? Isn't that our case? Wouldn't that be a great solution? The Gemara could have said that the Kohen Gadol should be Mekadesh, a woman, a second wife, on Erev Yom Kippur, so that if his real wife dies, this second wife will become his wife, the Kohen Gadol's wife, the Mrs. Kohen Gadol. You know, the first lady of the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. Why doesn't the Gemara give that simple solution? A Kohen Gadol is married, and he has to make sure there's another wife who will be his wife if his first wife dies. So Mekadesh on Erev Yom Kippur with a Tanai that you'll become my wife on Yom Kippur. Says Rabbi Kveiger, it must be that you cannot give money today and let the transaction occur tomorrow. That's why the Gemara didn't give this possibility of being Mekadesh, a second wife, on Erev Yom Kippur, with the chalos of the Kiddushin occurring on Yom Kippur. Because that would be a violation of Yom Kippur. We'd be doing business, we'd be doing transactions, we'd be doing Kiddushins on Yom Kippur. And that's why you're not allowed to. That's why the Gemara had to find some other ways of ensuring that the Kohen Gadol will have one wife, but not two wives, and will definitely have a wife, couldn't just give this simpler answer. Let's see that inside. Whatever that very complicated process that the Kohen Gadol has to go through in order to make sure he has a wife, but not two wives. Why doesn't he simply lekadish ha'acheres, let him be mekadish a second wife on Erev Yom Kippur, b'tanai im tamos chavertach? If my first wife dies, you will turn into my wife on this Yom Kippur. When my wife dies, you'll become my new wife. And that will solve all the problems. It must be, look at what I underlined, it's clearly because de lo matzi mekadsha she'achol ha'kadish na'achash tamos chavertach. The problem is, you can't do it. Why can't you be Mekadesh a woman on Erev Yom Kippur so that it will be Chal on Yom Kippur? Because then you will have a transaction or a Kiddushin occur on Yom Kippur. And that's Asa D'Rabbanan. That's Rebbe Kveiger's proof from this very unrelated, it is incredible to think that Rebbe Kveiger is dealing with the Shaila in Hilchas Mamonis. Could he do a transaction on one day and be Chal on Shabbos in Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Mamonis, and he's bringing a proof from the Kohen Gadol's wife on Yom Kippur. The fact that the Kohen Gadol, why don't we allow the Kohen Gadol to marry the woman on Erev Yom Kippur and it be Chal on Yom Kippur? Why don't we allow that? Says Rebbe Kveiger, it must be because then the transaction is taking place on Yom Kippur. We don't want a transaction to take place on a Shabbos or on a Yom Kippur. Even though all the activity, all the actions were done on Erev Yom Kippur. And that is Rebbe Kveiger's proof, and this is a famous Rebbe Kveiger who says that you cannot keep your internet website open on Shabbos. Why? Because there's a transaction that is occurring on Shabbos. You're not doing anything at all. You did everything on Friday, but a transaction is occurring on Shabbos. According to this Rebbe Kveger, it might very possibly be also to have a vending machine company. Because even though you did all the work on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but a transaction is occurring on Shabbos. And according to this Rebbe Kveger, the third application will apply. That you cannot sell the guy, sit down with the Gentile and do the Kinyanim on Friday, 2 days before Pesach, and have the chalos of the Mechiras Chametz occur on Erev Pesach, when it normally does, on the day before Pesach, because a transaction is occurring on Shabbos. And Rebbe Kveger just proved to us that you're not allowed to have a transaction occur on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Because if you were, the Kohen Gadol would merely have married that second woman on Erev Yom Kippur with a t'nai that if my first wife dies, you'll become my wife on tomorrow. The fact that he's not allowed to do that shows that he's not allowed to do an act on Friday or on Erev Yom Kippur if the chalos will be on Yom Kippur. That's the proof of Rebbe Kveger. Any questions about that proof?
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
No questions about that proof? That's the foundation of, that's the first third of the shir, I suppose, the first half of the shir. That's the hard part of the shir. Now, we have to find out how the poskim, through the ages, deal with this svara of Rebbe Kveger. Do they agree with this svara? Do they agree that you are not allowed to have a transaction occurring on Shabbos, and therefore you can't have a vending machine, you can't have an internet site open, and you can't sell your chametz on Erev Pesach? Meaning you have to sell all the chametz. Meaning if Rebbe Kveger is right, then you can't sell the chametz on Friday and have it transferred on Shabbos. You're going to have to actually sell the chametz and transfer it on Friday, which means listen carefully to what's going to happen. And there are going to be many rabbanim who are going to be doing this. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'll have to see what the rabbanim say over the next week. But if you hold like Rebbe Kveger, that means you have to sell the chametz when you're selling the chametz. You can't leave it for Shabbos. That means if you sell the chametz on Friday, 2 days before Pesach, you're going to actually transfer the property of the chametz 2 days before Pesach, which means you're not going to be able to have challah Friday night and Shabbos, right? So you know what you're going to have to do? Listen to this. You're going to have to exclude from the sale of the guy any chametz that you plan on eating for Pesach, for the Shabbos Erev Pesach. That means if you plan on having four kids in your family, plus an Abba and an Ima, you're going to save yourself six, you're going to sell all your chametz to the guy on Friday. But you know what you're not going to sell? You're going to sell them all the whiskey in your basement. You're going to sell them all the Cheerios in your pantry. You're going to sell them all the lasagna noodles in the cabinets. You're going to sell them all the, you know what you're not going to sell them? You're not going to sell him the 12 rolls that you want to keep for yourself and your family. Everything else you're going to sell on Friday, because you have no choice. You can't sell it on Shabbos. You can't have the transaction on Shabbos, according to Rebbe Kveger. So you're going to have to do the action, the Ma'aseh Kinyan on Friday, and the actual transfer of chametz on Friday. So that means all the chametz already belong to the guy. Oh, but don't worry. You kept for yourself 12 challah rolls, 6 for Friday night, for you, your wife, and your 4 kids, and another 6 challah rolls for the family for Shabbos morning. And that wasn't included what you saw the guy. So the shtar will have to say, I'm hereby selling to you all the chametz in my possession, all of my stocks and all of my, if you hold, you have to sell stocks, and all of my whiskeys and all my noodles and all my medications, if they may have to have whatever it is, I'm selling all my chametz on Friday, 2 days before Pesach. But Mr. Guy, Mr. Gentile, I'm not selling you this small bag or this small box from the bakery that has 12 challah rolls. That's not part of my deal. And the shtar that we'll have with the Gentile would have to say that we're selling to you all the chametz that we own anywhere and everywhere in the world, except that which I have put aside to eat for this Shabbos. That's what's going to come out from this opinion of Rebbe Kveger. Do we hold like Rebbe Kveger? So what we're going to do is a very interesting thing. It's a historical irony. Not an irony, it's historical, it's a funny thing that happened. This Shaila was brought to the Ksav Sofer. By the way, I didn't tell you, this Rebbe Kveger was asked, I don't have it here, this Shaila was asked to Rebbe Kveger by the Rebbe Kveger's brother. The Rebbe Kveger's brother asked his brother, the Gadol Hador Rebbe Kveger, this Shaila, could you do a Kinyan on Friday to be Chal on Shabbos? Okay, this Shaila came up again to the Ksav Sofer. Who is the Ksav Sofer? The Ksav Sofer was the Chasam Sofer's son. Do you remember that the Chasam Sofer was the Rav Kveger's son-in-law? So that means this Shiloh came to the Ksav Sofer that had previously been asked by his grandfather to his grandfather. Who's the one who asked it to his grandfather? His great uncle. Because the Chasam Sofer's brother, Rav Kveger's brother asked Rav Kveger. And Rav Kveger is the father-in-law of the Chasam Sofer. The Ksav Sofer is the son of the Chasam Sofer. So the Ksav Sofer who got this Shiloh, after he's going to go to the Shiloh, he's going to say, oh my gosh, I just realized, later in the Tshuva, we'll see in a moment, he'll say, I just found that my grandfather was asked this Shiloh. And my grandfather was asked this Shiloh by none other than my great uncle. So we'll see how he deals with the fact that his grandfather was asked the Shiloh. But let's see how he presents this question. He says it very clearly. It's a very clearly written Tshuva, actually. Look how clearly he presents the question. Im osa ha-kinyon b'mei ha-chol. You do a ma'aseh kinyon on a weekday. Uzman chalos ha-kinyon hukveh b'Shabbos. But the time for the transaction to become effective is Shabbos. Im yesh bo mishum iser mekach u'memka b'Shabbos. Is that an iser? Is the transaction happening on Shabbos? Is that a violation of mekach u'memka on Shabbos? Is that doing business on Shabbos? Oh, no, or not. Because you're not doing anything on Shabbos. You're not doing any activity on Shabbos. Everything was done on Friday. That's the question. So let's jump. And he goes to a very good lamdus that we should have thought of ourselves. We should have taken a step back and say, wait a second, before you bring me rayas from a Trumas Hadesh by Pidyon HaBen, that it should be Mutter. But Torah, you bring me rayas from a Kohen Gadol marrying a second wife, that should be Aser. Forget that. Let's look at the Svara. What's the question? The question is, can you have a transaction occur on Shabbos if you did the action, the Maisa, during the week? Well, why are you not allowed to do business on Shabbos in the first place? Let's take a step back. Let's think about why you're not allowed to do business. And then let's see if those reasons apply in this situation that we are raising. In the situation where you do the actions on Friday, and the chalos will occur on Shabbos. So that's what the Ksav Sofer is going to do, which is, I think, the right way to go about this. Before you look for svara, before you look for proofs, why don't you think this through and see what the reasons could be? Well, why is Mekach Mekach? Why are you not allowed to do business on Shabbos? There are two separate reasons. Let's look at what the Ksav Sofer says. Rashi and Beitza says there are two reasons why you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos. Rashi Kasa Beit Salam and Zayin Amar Aleph, Beis Ta'amim, Be'isr Mekach. Number one, Aleph, Mishum Mimitzo Chafetzech V'Dabir Davar. The first reason is based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya that says that your dealings should not be the same on Shabbos as they are during the week. Don't do business on Shabbos because your dealings should be different. You shouldn't be speaking words of business. You shouldn't be involved in any activities of business on Shabbos day. That's one reason. The other reason Rashi says, the other possible reason why business is prohibited on Shabbos, right? Business is not one of the Lamates Malachos. What's the other reason? The second reason is Gzeira Shemayichtov, the last three words that I have highlighted on the screen. Gzeira Shemayichtov, if you're going to allow business on Shabbos, somebody might come to write it down, right? Or see a record. So don't do business because you might come. It's Gzeira Dabani, you might come to write. Says the Ksav Sofer, do either of these two, none of them, both of them, neither of them, one of them, apply in our situation where you do all the actions on Friday and the transaction is chal on Shabbos? Let's think. If the Isser is the Pasuk in Yeshaya that you shouldn't be doing anything on Shabbos that is weekday-ish, that is, you shouldn't speak words on Shabbos that is words of business, well, if you did the kiddin on Friday, if you set up your vending machine on Friday, if you sat with the Gentile from Bechiras Chametz on Friday, if you set up your internet website on Friday, and you did absolutely nothing on Shabbos, and you didn't speak anything on Shabbos, you didn't talk about Shabbos on Shabbos, you didn't do anything, you didn't lift a finger for business on Shabbos, you didn't violate the Pasuk in Yeshaya. So that shouldn't be a problem. You're not speaking about anything on Shabbos. Everything was taken care of before Shabbos. It just happens naturally. On the website, the transaction is just chal on Shabbos. You didn't do anything, so that should be okay. What about the gzera that you might come to write? Well, when do you write things down? Typically, you write it down when you do, when you sit down with your counterpart, with the Gentile. You sit down and you write down whatever has to be written down. You don't write it down when the transaction is, right, when we have the sale, when we have the closing in mid-November and the transaction switches on the first day of January. When do you write the things down? When you're sitting down with the lawyers at the closing in the middle of November. Not when the property will transfer ownership. So also, there should not be a chashash that you're going to write anything. We should shema yichtum gam kein lo shayach. There shouldn't be a concern you might write. To enterch lichto b'shosh achal ha-kinyan, and therefore, based on the two reasonings why you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos, neither of those reasons apply when you sat down to do the, when you did the act to the transfers on Friday and the transaction occurred on Shabbos. And therefore, posit the Ksav Sofer, it should be mutter misvara to do the activities on Friday and let the transaction occur on Shabbos, because neither of the reasons why business is aser apply. You're not doing anything on Shabbos. There's no concern you're going to write on Shabbos because nothing, you didn't do anything. And therefore it should be mutter. However, what did I find? I found a letter from my grandfather, the Gadol Hadar, with the Shaila from my great uncle, the great Tzaddik, whatever his great uncle's name was. And my grandfather, the Gadol Hadar, says, not like me. He says that it's aser. Amnu matzasi or isi kadosh echa medaber v'davar hazeh. Who is it? Who did I find before me who actually discussed this question of doing a transaction on Friday that's chal on Shabbos? Adoni mori v'zik zikni rabba shakol b'nei hagola morein harabik v'eger. My grandfather and his chuvas was asked by from who? None other than me achiv, his brother Dodi, my uncle. Hagon ha'atzam reina rabudim. Rabudim eger. I don't know if Eger was his last name or Eger was the city that he came from. Rabbi Kve Eger, does somebody remember? Rabbi Kve Eger, was that his last name or was that Rabbi Eger the city that he came from? Does anyone know? Nafkamina, if his brother was Bunim Eger or not Bunim Eger.
I think he came from Lvov.
He came from Lvov, so Eger was actually his last name?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so if that's the case, then his brother was Rabbi Bunim Eger. Good, then we got Rabbi Bunim Eger. I know there's Rabbi Shlomo Eger. So that was his son. So maybe it is his last name. Because if it was a city, then we wouldn't call his son from the same city that his father was from. Okay. So after, even though the Ksav Sofer is very encouraged by his thought process, a very good svara, that the reasons for Mekach and Mefkar should not apply on this scenario of doing the Mais on Friday and having the result on Shabbos, nevertheless, Rabbi Kveger, my grandfather, says it's aser. And he brought a raya. And the raya that Rabbi Kveger brought was from the case of marriage, of the Kohen Gadol marrying, the fact that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a woman on Friday, I'm sorry, on Erev Yom Kippur, al tnai, that I mean, if my wife dies, then I will marry you, you will become my wife tomorrow on Yom Kippur, because it's an issur d'rabbanan to marry on Yom Kippur. So, it ends up being that the Ksav Sofer, he's not so sure about that proof, but he says, Ladina, and this is the psak of the Ksav Sofer, that La'asos kinyan be'er Shabbos, she'yachol b'Shabbos me'elav, that it should automatically occur, be valid on Shabbos, is aser. So now, we're in trouble, Rabosai. We have the Gadol Hadar, Rabbi Kveger says it's aser. We have the Ksav Sofer, his grandson, also agreeing that it's aser. So who are we left with? So far, we don't have anybody who would permit. So at this point, what's going to come out, if Rabbi Kveger and the Ksav Sofer are saying that it's also to do a transaction on Friday where the transaction will occur on Shabbos, that means that when I sit with the Gentile on a week from, 2 weeks or so, 2 weeks from tomorrow, I'm going to sit with him on Friday, 2 days before Pesach. I'm going to sell him all of your chametz, 2 days before Pesach. I'm going to tell him, but I'm selling to everything that we own except those 12 challah rolls that my congregation is going to want for their families for the Friday night meal and the Shabbos day meal. Everything else will already be owned by the goy, not the Erev Pesach, but 2 days before Pesach. Which means that, let's say, Friday afternoon, your kid wants to have one of those wants to open up one of those wafers that you got for Purim that you're going to sell with your chametz that you're selling, and you got one of those wafer rolls or those chocolate wafers, you have to say, I'm sorry, dear son or dear daughter, those are not our wafers. Those were sold to the Gentile a few hours ago, Friday morning. And the kid's going to tell you, but mommy, daddy, Pesach's not for another day and a half. What do you mean? You're going to say, sorry, but this year we had to sell it to the guy on Friday morning when we sold all the rest of the chametz. And the only thing that we kept for ourselves was these 12 challah rolls, but everything else belongs to the guy already. Okay. So keep in mind one point. Everything we've seen until now had nothing to do with Pesach. Rabbi Kveger, the Ksav Sofer, they were talking about doing a regular transaction, Pidyon HaBen maybe, or other transactions on a Friday, so that the transaction could be valid on Shabbos, a marriage, a Pidyon HaBen, a sale. Nobody mentioned Mechiras Chametz until the Maram Shik. Comes the Maram Shik and asks, he's not really coming to answer our question, he's coming to ask a different question. He wants to deal with the following. Let's say you have a grocery store, and your grocery store does a lot of business on Friday afternoon because you're not in the Jewish neighborhood. You have a grocery store somewhere in Midtown Manhattan. You have a grocery store somewhere in Midtown. I don't know where the Maram Shik lived, wherever he lived. And you have lots of Gentile customers who do a lot of their shopping Friday afternoon so that they can have food for the weekend. Now, of course, Erev Pesach, you can't own chametz in the afternoon. We all know that. It's also Daraisa. But this year, my friends, Erev Pesach is Shabbos. I'm not selling it. My store is closed on Shabbos. But Erev Shabbos, which is 2 days before Pesach, theoretically, I'm allowed to eat chametz that afternoon. I'm allowed to banana from chametz that afternoon. In fact, I'm going to be having chametz for supper Friday night and for breakfast Shabbos morning. So of course, Friday afternoon, I can eat chametz and I should be able to sell chametz. The problem is, I sold all my chametz to the guy in the morning, because we're supposed to sell the chametz in the morning to the guy, just like we do every year. We sell in the morning. So now you have a businessman come to the Maram Shik and says, my dear Maram Shik, you the rabbi, you're selling all of our chametz on Friday morning, 2 days before Pesach. But I'm losing an afternoon of selling. It's bad enough I can't open my store for the next week and a half. But at least this afternoon, which is 2 days before Pesach, Friday afternoon, 2 days before Pesach, can I sell my stuff? Meaning, rabbi, could you please put in a document, listen carefully, could you put in the document of sale, when you sit with the Gentile this morning, on Friday morning, at 11 in the morning, Friday morning, could you do me a favor, instead of putting in the document that you're transferring the chametz right now, Friday morning, could you put in the document that you're going to transfer the chametz Friday afternoon? I don't want you to transfer on Shabbos. That, Rabbi Kveger says you can't. That, the Ksav Sofer says you can't. But could you put in the contract that will transfer, you'll do the business deal Friday morning, right? You'll do all the trading and you'll give the money, you'll do the shtar, you'll do the signatures, you'll do the handing over, you'll do the chalipins, you'll do all the kinnis that you have to do with the Gentile Friday morning. But do me a favor, put a clause in the document that says that the transfer of the chametz will only take place at 5:59, right before Hadlakas Neros. So this way I could get another afternoon of selling my chametz and to the other guy who want to buy my chametz. That should probably be totally fine, right? Because the problem that we've been discussing is all that we don't want to have the kinnin happen on Shabbos. We don't want the transaction to be on Shabbos. This was the question that was raised to the Maram Shik. And the Maram Shik says that, hey, that sounds okay. I think that should be okay. I think that should be okay. But in his words, you know what we find that he says in this whole discussion? 1 second, please. In the context of the whole discussion, which we don't have to go through, we see one thing. We see the following. We see the Maram Shik, and this is going to be the first application of the discussion that we've had until now apply actually to Mechiras Chametz. That's the significance of this Maram Shek. Look what he says when he takes the whole idea of putting a time later in the day. He says, but wait a second. You better put a time later in the day. Dimlokin yachol hakinyan b'Shabbos. We're worried. I don't want the kinyan to happen on Shabbos because we know krakosa b'tshuvas hagam rebekveger tzatzal the aser sheyachol hakinyan b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to have the transaction occur on Shabbos because that's a gzera of violating a gzera of doing business on Shabbos. So without getting into his own question, you see that the Maram Shek is indeed paskening like this chumra of rebekveger, like the chumra of the ksav sofer, that you are not permitted to do a transfer, to do a kinyan on Friday with the chalos occurring, with the transaction happening on Shabbos. And therefore, we have Rebbe Kveger, the Ksav Sofer, the Maram Shik, three great of the Gedolei Achronim, all coming out that it is taka a problem to have an internet site open on Shabbos because the transaction is happening on Shabbos. That it's a problem to have a vending machine operation because the transaction is happening on Shabbos. And of course, in our situation, in our application, it would be equally prohibited to sit with the Gentile on Friday and have the chametz transfer on Shabbos. Rather, you're going to have to transfer all the chametz on Friday. And practically, you're just going to have to exclude from the sale. I'm selling him all my chametz except these 12 challah rolls that I need for my family for Friday night and for Shabbos morning. Now, I could end the shiur here. But that wouldn't be fair. Because we're going to go through an incredible tshuva of the Maharshag. The Maharshag, I've never learned the tshuva of the Maharshag until I got to this sugya, and it's a beautiful tshuva. It's written clearly. It's easy to read. And the Maharshag was a posse from Chust. Some of you might have some affinity to Chust. I know somebody in our shul, his license plate says Chust because his family's from Chust. And he's a big fan of Chust. So the Maharshag, Rav Shimshon Greenfield, was born in Chust in Hungary, and he's Mizera Tosas Yontif. He was a Talmud of none other than Maharam Shik. Didn't we just finish learning the Maharam Shik? Wasn't Maharam Shik just the one who says that you're not allowed to do a kinyan on Friday and let the transfer happen on Shabbos? Well, wait till you see what his student, the Maharshag, say. So, by the way, interesting to note that he got married when he was 16 years old. Right? This is in the late 1800s. So it's not like, you know, in the 1500s or the 1600s, in the late 1800s, in 1876, he was born in 1860, I think, right? So that means in 1876, 140 years ago, he got married when he was 16 years old. Obviously, he was, I think, in Chust, they were Hasidim in Chust, right? Mr. Davies in Chust, they were Hasidim?
Yes, my great-grandfather's buried there in the same cemetery as the Maharam Shik. I was there in 2004.
Wow, I remembered that you had some connection to Chust. That's why I asked you. I think I remembered there's something with Chust and the Chasim. You're also a child of, you're also from the Chasim Sof, which is also Hungary. So I figured you had some connection there.
Chust is in the Ukraine. Chust is in the Ukraine.
Isn't it Hungary, I thought? It's Hungarian, no?
Yeah, at that time it was the Austrian-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Capel, is your family from Chust?
My family is from Romania-Hungary, the Hungarian part. Transylvania, which is part used to be Hungary, but Romania, it's like change hands every few years.
Okay. Okay, fine. So believe it or not, the tshuva that the Maharshag died in around the year 1930, I believe. So he died in about 1930. And one of his tshuvas, and this tshuva that we're going to look at, he was asked about nothing else, nothing other than vending machines. Rabosai, vending machines. They were around before 1930, except the word that he calls it was an automat. And you know what was sold in the vending machines? You know what he writes? Chocolade. They sold chocolate in the automat in Hungary. Rabosai, 150 years ago. You hear that? Next time you go to the airport and you buy a Kit Kat from the vending machine, just remember, nothing. This was 150 years ago in pre-war Europe in Hungary. They had automats that sell chocolate. So, and other candidates. Yeah. You'll see possibly in the tshuva. I think you'll see the word chocolate once in the tshuva that I cut out for you. We're not going to go through the whole tshuva. It's not a terribly long, it's a medium tshuva, not so long, not so short. But I cut out a few sections that I think relate to our question. And the reason why it's so important that we look at this tshuva is because even though we saw Rebbe Kveger be machmir, we saw the Ksav Sofer be machmir, we saw the Maram Shik be machmir, we're now going to see some very strong arguments of someone even later than all of them, of this Maharshag. So first he quotes this Rebbe Kveger that we learned. Afilu, he's going to say, I understand Rebbe Kveger says you're not allowed to do a kinyan on Friday, that it should work on Shabbos. In other words, according to Rebbe Kveger, what should be the halacha with a vending machine? If you set it up on Friday, but the person puts money in on Shabbos and takes the chocolate out on Shabbos, that means the transaction is occurring on Shabbos. That should be a problem, according to Rebbe Kveger, right? Not only that, but my Rebbe, Umori Maharam Shik. You remember we just saw in the biography, who's the Talmud of Maharam Shik? You don't need a biography from Hamudiyah or from the Wikipedia. You can see it from his tshuvas himself. My Rebbe, the Maharam Shik. Look what I have, the top line over here. Mari Maharam Shik, Chosh Ledvar, was concerned with Rebbe Kveger's opinion. Later in Erev, Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, that you shouldn't write Shalom Lichto B'Shtar Mechira, Shekinin Maschel B'Shabbos. Right? The Maharam Shik said, you can't have this kinin happen on Shabbos. You have to have the kinin occur on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, you see that anything, I'm in the third line, L'chora Muchach Midivrem, it's clear from their words, D'mekach U'memkar, Hanasa Me'elav B'Shabbos, that's the key word. It's an automatic transfer on Shabbos. Nothing's doing Shalom Yidei Ma'isa Yisrael, is still Aser. It's still Aser. That's what they hold. However, I think that even Rebbe Kveger, who prohibited, in the case of, what was Rebbe Kveger's case again? Doing an action on Friday and having a pichal on Shabbos, I think that for a vending machine should be mutter. Why? He's going to say something very intelligent right now. He's going to say that when you set up a kinyan, if you sit down with a Gentile on Shabbos, or a Jew on Shabbos, I'm sorry, you sit down with a fellow person, who Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter, on Friday, and you say, I want the transaction to become effective on Shabbos. You're designating that the transaction should occur on Shabbos. That could be a problem. However, he's going to suggest, when you set up a vending machine on Friday, or on Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, are you designating a day when the chocolate should be purchased? You're setting up a vending machine, and whenever the next person comes to buy for this vending machine, I hope it's Friday. I hope it's very soon. I hope it's all the time. I hope I'd be sold out by Shabbos. You're not designating that the kinyan should occur on Shabbos. You're setting up a situation that the transaction will occur whenever the buyer may or may not come and put in their 50 cents or their 75 cents or their $1.25 and get their chocolate. So you're not setting something up to occur on Shabbos. You're setting something up to occur whenever it may occur. It might occur on Shabbos. Oh. Says the Maharshag, even Rebbe Kveger, who is Machmir and says you're not allowed to do something, set something up on Friday so that it will occur on Shabbos, maybe that's when you're setting up to occur on Shabbos. But if you set it up to just be available whenever and who for whomever, it might happen on Shabbos, it might not happen on Shabbos. For that, maybe even Rebbe Kveger would allow such a transaction to take place. Look at the last five lines of this. If you see my cursor, I'll move up to the top. Aval benid, the end of the line. Aval benidon didar kishem meisim ha'yisrael hatzikr lach. I assume that's, help me, Mr. Kapel. Tikalach is from the word sukkah, candy, right? Is that candies in Hungarian and Yiddish?
Candy.
Hatzikalach, hatchokolad. You see the word from 150 years ago in Chust, in Hungary, hatchokolad. When the Jew puts the tikalach and the chocolate into his vending machine, bahakli, that's his vending machine. Enukavir klaus man. He's not established setting a time on Shabbos to say this should be purchased on Shabbos. I don't know when anyone's going to buy my chocolate. I don't know when he's going to buy it. I'm just setting it up so that it could be bought. If that's in that case, I'm convinced, as my shag, that even Rabbi Kaver, who's machmir, and you can't do a deal on Friday to be chal on Shabbos, I think this should be permitted because you're not setting it up to be on Shabbos. It may or may not happen on Shabbos, but you're not setting it up that way. And therefore, ain shum iser the Yisrael haniach besocha kliach chafotzim, and the guy could come and purchase it whenever he wants. This logic should apply equally to a vending machine as to an internet site, a website, an online commerce platform where you set up an online commerce platform. You have your software designers and your web designers set it up on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they set it up so that a client could buy whenever a client wants to buy. I don't mean a client. I mean a customer. If the customer wants to come on Thursday afternoon, on Friday afternoon, great. If the customer wants to buy Friday afternoon, that's his problem. I didn't set it up to happen on Shabbos. And therefore, in the Mashag's estimation, even Rabbi Akiva Eger, who's Machmir, would permit that as well. But not only that. Comes the Mashag and takes a giant step forward and says, I disagree fundamentally with what Rabbi Kveger, the God of Hador, Rabbi Kveger, put forth. Fundamentally. You know why? Because I have some really strong proofs. Can I ask you a question? A Mishnah question. Could you take grain and put it in a water mill on Friday afternoon and let the water run? I mean, the water runs, the stream is running. And this, as the stream runs or as the wind blows the windmill, if I put grain in there Friday afternoon, and now the wind blows on Shabbos, is there anything wrong with that? Or the watermill turns on Shabbos through the stream flowing down and turning the paddles of the watermill, and my grain is being crushed on Shabbos? The Gemara says it's totally mutar lechatchila, because that's one problem. It makes a lot of noise, and the neighbors are going to think that you're grinding grains actively. So don't do it. Do you realize what just happened? Other than the fact that it's very loud and everyone hears it, and there's an audio component that everyone hears the loud noise of the grinding of the grains, the stones crushing. Other than that, if it's going to be silent, there's no problem. Well, what's happening there? You're setting something up on Friday for it to conclude, for it to do a malacha on Shabbos. And it's mutar lechatchila if it doesn't make a loud sound. And it doesn't sound like you're doing business on Shabbos. It doesn't sound like you're grinding your grains on Shabbos. As long as you take away the audio piece, the audio component, the audio aspect, then it's mutter. But what's this? You're setting up a malacha on Friday afternoon so that it could occur on Shabbos. Isn't that exactly what we're asking? And that's daraisa, that's grinding, which is one of the Lama Tess malachos. Here, the only question is mekach u'memkar, pragmatia, business, which is only a derabanan. So if I'm allowed to set up the grains to be ground on Shabbos, certainly I should be able to set up a website or a vending machine or perhaps a transaction of a sale of chametz where a mekach memekah will happen on Shabbos passively, automatically. That's a good proof, isn't it? That's a great proof, no? That's one proof that the Mashag says. And then, one more proof. Here he hits at the heart of Rabbi Kveger's proof. What was the whole source for Rabbi Akiva Eger to prove that you're not allowed to set up a sale on Friday and the transaction will occur on Shabbos or Yontif? His proof was from the case of the Kohen Gadol who had to have two wives on Yom Kippur, who had to have one wife on Yom Kippur and make sure that he had a backup wife. And the proof was that the Gemara had to create a very complicated and convoluted situation of how to have this wife and another wife, just in case the first wife dies. And Rabbi Kveger asked, why didn't the Gemara say a very simple solution? He has a wife. Let him on Erev Yom Kippur be Mekadesh another wife on the condition that my first wife will die on Yom Kippur. You will become my new wife. I'll give her the money on Erev Yom Kippur, and she'll become my wife, if need be, God forbid, if my wife dies, on Yom Kippur. From the fact, says Rabbi Kveger, that you're not allowed to do this easier, more natural type of solution for the Kohen Gadol, It must be because we don't allow the Kohen Gadol to do this because there's a transaction occurring. There's a Kedushin occurring on Yom Kippur. And that must be the reason why it's Aser. Says Mashag, no. No. I could think of two other possibilities why the Gemara didn't give that reason. That possibility of the Kohen Gadol giving a ring to a woman on Erev Yom Kippur and saying, if my wife ends up dying, you should become my wife on Yom Kippur. Maybe there are some other reasons. Maybe it's because we're worried that if you do this in a way that I'm going to give her the ring on Erev Yom Kippur, and I say to her, if my wife dies on Yom Kippur, you'll become my wife on Yom Kippur. Maybe we don't want to do that because we're worried that the woman will rescind her offer in a few hours. After Kol Nidre, she'll say, I don't want to be a backup. I don't want to be a backup. I want to be a number one. I don't want to be a backup. And she'll rescind her offer. And she will not say, I'm not going to let myself become married if this other first wife dies. I don't want to be a second fiddle to the Kohen Gadol. And if she has, and therefore she's going to, and we'll be stuck with the Kohen Gadol's wife will die, God forbid. And this other woman, we rescinded her offer. And the Klal Yisrael won't have kapara that year, God forbid. Maybe that's why we don't allow this situation. Or maybe there's another reason. Maybe that in order to be considered, if you see at the very bottom of the piece, right above the thick line, maybe regarding Yom Kippur, where it says Beiso, it's not enough where the Torah says that the Chiper Badov Ad Beiso, it's not enough for a man just to be married. It has to be that there was a full marriage with a complete a marriage that was commenced with a full knisa, with a full-fledged marriage, with all aspects, including the physical aspect of the marriage. And that's not permitted on Yom Kippur. So she's first going to become the wife on Yom Kippur, and you can't have that fuller aspect of marriage on Yom Kippur, so you're not going to have that requirement of Beiso that is necessary for the Kohen Gadol to have.
So she's not Yevama.
What?
She needs only Yevama needs the Biyat or Kinyan. Regular.
So he's considering, so he's suggesting this is a Chiddush. You're right. He's suggesting a Chiddush that maybe the word Beiso is a very unusual word for wife. But that specific word is used here by the Kohen Gadol. Maybe that indicates the need for it to occur, to be the case for the Kohen Gadol. It's a Chiddush. You're right. It's a Chiddush. So either way, maybe there could be numerous reasons why we didn't want to allow the possibility of the Kohen Gadol, you know, giving a ring on Erev Yom Kippur and saying, be my wife tomorrow on Yom Kippur. It's not necessarily proof that it doesn't work because you're not allowed to have a transaction on Shabbos. Based on that, you could look over here. Based on that, the Rashad comes out. Based on that, the Marashad comes out that he argues on Rabbi Kveger, and he indeed holds that there's nothing wrong with setting up doing a transaction on Friday and letting the effect of the transaction, the chalos, letting the kinyan occur on Shabbos. Even Rabbi Kveger's own, the regular case is also mutter. All we care is when you're doing the actions. The im habaylim osim be'erev Shabbos. As long as you do the actions on Friday, even though the kinyan will end up taking place on Shabbos, it's mutter. That's Rabbi Kveger. I'm sorry. That's the Marashag's conclusion, and therefore he holds that you could have the vending machine set up even if somebody buys on Shabbos. But that's obvious because there you're not designating a specific time for it to be transferred. Internet website, of course, it's going to be mutter according to the Marashag. But even there, it's obvious that it's going to be mutter because you're not specifying that it should be on Shabbos. But even in the case of Mechiras Chametz, which is the worst possible situation, because we're sitting with the guy on Friday and we're saying, I want the transfer to happen tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow late morning, Mr. Gentile. I want this Chametz to be transferred to you I want it to be mine on Friday. I want it to be mine on Friday night so I can just enjoy my challah and my wafers and my cake. And I want it to be mine on Shabbos morning so I can enjoy my challahs and my cake and my Yerushalmi kugel and my noodle kugel. And the second it become right before my Isser chametz, I wanted all my chametz to go to you then. Now, that's much easier, right? Says my Shag, perfect. even though you specify that the transaction should take place on Shabbos, totally fine, says Meshach. And if we look through Shulchan Aruch, we're going to find in numerous cases, and we're going to finish with this, because it's already getting late, we're going to find numerous cases that, indeed, it should be okay, so long as the actions were done on Friday. You know what? Let's stop here. Maybe next week we'll have the time to go through some of the additional proofs why it should be mutter. But for now, I'll thank all of you for joining. And there's it's a fun sugya. And any questions? I'm happy to.
With the internet sales, that only applies if you don't have a set time for it. You can buy it at any time. If you say the sale ends on Friday night, you can't purchase that one because you're making it to the kinyan and everything has to take place on Shabbos.
That's a great question. You're saying if you have a sale that ends Friday night at midnight,
put a bid on something that the sale ends on Friday night.
Right. No. So you're still only it's only a one sided when you if you own the website, it's still only one sided. You're allowing something. You're making something available until Friday night at midnight. But it's not that you and any specific human, Jew or Gentile, are saying that it should, we're not setting up a transaction to occur on Friday night. You're just saying that this is available. If anybody wants to buy, you'll get a certain price until Friday night. So putting a certain price on something that's going to expire on Friday night at midnight is not setting up a transaction to become effective on Friday night between two parties agreeing to that.
Yeah, but hello.
Yeah, Chazen.
Yeah, the internet sale is not like a vending machine. Vending machine, you pay for the chocolate and you take out the chocolate on Shabbos. Internet sale, even if you receive an order on Shabbos, you will not ship it before Monday or Sunday.
But when does
the real transaction is not the shipping is the transaction.
So the question is, when is the transaction? Does the transaction occur when you ship it, or do you get billed immediately, and the shipping happens whenever the shipping ships? So you have to ask your son, when is legally the transaction occurring? Is it when they bill, the second they put an order, do they bill the credit card? If they bill the credit card right away, then it's a transaction right away. A solution would be, and I know this solution, in this very wonderful Sefer, Commerce on Shabbos by Rabbi Kushner, who spoke in our shul one time, he says a solution would be that if you could, he said it's very difficult to do with your credit card company. A solution could be is if you have an internet website, tell the person that you will not be billed, we will not charge your credit card until we ship the product. Of course, if it's a Jewish company, when are they going to ship the product? Not on Shabbos. They're going to ship the product on Sunday or Monday, and they'll only bill you on Sunday or Monday when they ship the product. Oh, so then you didn't have the transaction occur on Shabbos. You only have the transaction occur. We're only going to bill you. Billing you is when taking the money is when the transaction is occurring. We're only going to bill you when we ship it. And the shipping we're only going to do on Monday. That will solve the problem. But apparently, this book points out that it's very difficult.
What determined the transaction? The payment or the shipping when you change ownership of the product?
I believe
the money doesn't buy.
I believe
money
the billing. I believe, again, it might be dependent on the country and the law and the state.
Well,
What kind of
Kenyan is billing?
So two possible kinyanim. It could be kinyan kasef, and it could also be kinyan situmta. Situmta means how does it work in the market that you're operating in. In most markets, the transaction occurs. Again, you have to ask Amazon what their policy is. When is the moment of transaction? When did you buy it? Did you buy it when they bill your credit card company your credit card? Or do you own it when they ship it out? Or do you own it when it comes to your door, into your house? I don't know. You have to ask Amazon what's Amazon's policy in states.
Well, you'd have to say that it's when it comes to your property because if it gets lost in shipment, it's not yours. You didn't own it yet. It's like if you buy a grain in somebody's house, it's not, the kingdom doesn't take place until you do it because maybe it's burned down. Well, here, if it's in transit, it's not yours yet.
That's a good question. I don't know. There are laws about this. I don't know what the laws are. But it's fair to assume that when you put in the order and they bill you, that billing you, meaning or billing your credit card, is the transfer. That's when there's the transaction. That's what I would assume is the default. There might be other possibilities, but I assume that would be the default position.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.